news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Americans awoke Thursday morning to very sad news. Congressman Elijah Cummings passed away overnight. His office said it was due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. There are a lot of quotes to choose from to play here, but I'll take this one from Chairman Cummings' closing statement at a House Oversight Committee hearing featuring Donald Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, in which he finally told the truth.
I know that this has been hard. I know that you face a lot. I know that you are worried about your family, but this is a part of your destiny. And hopefully, this portion of your destiny will lead to a better Michael Cohen, a better Donald Trump, a better United States of America, and a better world. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. When we're dancing with the angels, the question will be asked, in 2019, what did we do to make sure we kept our democracy intact? Did we stand on the sidelines and say nothing?
Dance away, Mr. Cummings. Dance away. Wednesday marked the 1,000th day of the Trump administration occupying the White House and running roughshod over the Constitution. And it was certainly momentous. At a White House meeting between the president and congressional leaders, things quickly devolved into what Speaker Nancy Pelosi described as a presidential meltdown.
What we witnessed on the part of the president was a meltdown.
He said that there are communists involved and you guys might like that. When he started calling Speaker Pelosi a third-rate politician.
Which I said, I wish you were a politician, Mr. President.
Pelosi reportedly challenged Trump on Russia's involvement in Syria, saying, quote, all roads with you lead to Putin. The Democratic leader said that the moment that prompted them to walk out was when Trump called Pelosi a, quote, third-rate politician to her face. As they left, Trump shot back, goodbye, we'll see you at the polls. Meanwhile, the White House pushed back on the Democrats' version of the meeting, saying Trump was measured, decisive, and that Pelosi had, quote, no intention of listening. One thing that could have set Trump off was the House vote, an overwhelming vote to condemn Trump's withdrawal of American forces from northern Syria. Final tally was 354 to 60, with even some in leadership, including Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise, voting to condemn the president's actions. Meanwhile, on Thursday afternoon, Senators Lindsey Graham and Chris Van Hollen will hold a press conference to announce their bipartisan sanctions legislation against Turkey. But the situation on the ground in Syria grows more dire each day. On Wednesday, the U.S. military said two F-15E jet fighters carried out an airstrike to destroy an ammunition storage facility, latrines, tents, and other parts of the Syria headquarters of the American campaign to destroy ISIS after pulling its forces from the base. A spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition said the airstrikes were intended to reduce the facility's military usefulness and came after Turkish-backed forces moved on the facility on Tuesday. And despite the fact that Donald Trump is responsible for this travesty by going along with Erdogan's plans and removing American troops from the region who were protecting the Kurds, Trump seemed to react to the criticisms of his decision by writing a letter to Erdogan dated October 9th, a letter so poorly written, so childish, so petty in tone that media outlets questioned its legitimacy and only reported on it after getting confirmation from the White House press office that indeed it was real. The BBC is reporting that Erdogan put the letter, quote, in the bin. And on the day the letter was received, Turkey launched its cross-border offensive against Kurdish-led forces. Good work, Trump. Making America great again. So now, Vice President Mike Pence is leading a U.S. delegation that includes the Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, and the Special Representative for Syria to Turkey. The aim of the trip was to persuade Erdogan to stop his offensive into the region. The plane landed at around 12:30 local time Thursday in Ankara. And at press time, a picture was just tweeted out of Pence and Erdogan shaking hands. Stay tuned. In other news, the EU and UK have reached a deal on a new withdrawal agreement that'll let Britain depart on orderly terms. This, according to the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Meanwhile, Jo Swinson, the leader of UK's Liberal Democratic Party, says this is the emperor's new clothes. Back here at home, the impeachment inquiry continues. U.S. Ambassador to the European Union Gordon Sondland is scheduled to testify before Congress on Thursday. He's expected to say that he thought the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, was, quote, great, and that he has nothing negative to say about her job performance despite her ouster by Trump. He'll also reportedly testify that after he attended the Ukrainian president's inauguration in May, he met with Trump, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, and former U.S. Special Envoy Kurt Volker in the Oval Office, where, Sondland will say, Trump told them that any in-person meeting between Trump and Zelensky would have to be approved by Rudy Giuliani? Oh, and bad news for Sondland, a businessman with no government or diplomatic experience who bought his ambassadorship with a $1 million donation to Trump's inaugural committee. He's now the subject of even more controversy, as new reports surfacing Thursday morning tell of his nearly $1 million renovation of his government-provided residence at taxpayer expense in Brussels. Not a good look. Well, on Wednesday, it was Michael McKinley's turn in the hot seat. The former top advisor to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reportedly told House impeachment investigators that he abruptly resigned last week because of Donald Trump's attacks on the ousted U.S. ambassador to Ukraine and the State Department's unwillingness to protect career diplomats from politically motivated pressure. On the labor front, a tentative deal has been reached that could end the month-long General Motors strike. Details have not been publicly released yet, and it still needs to get the okay from both union leadership and rank-and-file union members before it can take effect. Meanwhile, in Chicago, 25,000 educators are set to go on strike. Thursday's classes have been canceled in the country's third-largest school district. The educators want higher pay, smaller class sizes, and more support staff. And they should get it all. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, so I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.